From the KERA newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, September 1st brings a flood of new Texas laws. We'll preview a few of the standouts. First, the news of the day. A handcuffed man died in the lobby of the Dallas County Jail this month, and today, the case was ruled a homicide. Medical examiner's office said contributing factors included drugs and stress to his body from being restrained. Cameras showed the man acting erratically before deputies subdued him on August 1st. Sheriff spokesman Raul Reyna said the department won't comment until the investigation is finished. The Texas legislature passed 1,200 bills this year, and more than half of them take effect tomorrow. One allows doctors to use video chat to see sick students at school and be reimbursed with Medicaid money. A similar program in North Texas involved students at more than two dozen local schools. My colleague Sam Baker talked about this and other new laws with Ian Mitra of the Texas Tribune.
This law was actually written by a state representative from North Texas, Joby Lobenberg of Parker. Their goal here was just to try to keep kids in school and to avoid the trouble of having to go out for doctor's appointments for sore throats, ear infections, things like that, that they could be diagnosed in school and not miss any class. And then they could just pick up a prescription if needed on the way home when they picked up their kids. So it was just all about making it easier for the parents and for the kids.
But how does the doctor get the information needed for a diagnosis?
They're on a computer system where they're connected with a school nurse who's actually helping with the diagnosis. So there's electronic stethoscopes and otoscopes for ear checks. In the meantime, there's actually a camera that the doctor who is working remotely can see everything that's going on. By asking questions remotely, the doctor can then make the assessments.
Of course, a child can only tell you so much about their medical history. Is there any concerns about the risks of missed information?
There have been some concerns raised that, you know, that you're always going to want to have an in-person checkup with a doctor, but the doctors say that they're not doing extensive checks here. These are for basic ailments that they can avoid missing school time for.
Well, speaking of children, children in the Texas foster care system get an ombudsman. What will he or she do?
There were a lot of advocates with the organization CASA, court-appointed special advocates, who were saying that kids they were work with were not sure who their point of contact was if they had any questions beyond their foster parents and caregivers. And the concern was they were scared to speak up to somebody with their caregivers around if they had any concerns or complaints or problems. And so what this ombudsman does is this new position will allow them a direct contact so they don't have to navigate through the system to try to figure out who to talk to if they have a concern or a complaint about the care they're getting.
Weren't caseworkers supposed to do that?
They were, but they were stretched thin. So this is a person who hopefully will just be a little bit more organized and focused on this specific area.
Now, starting September 1st, financial help from the state for college will be a bit harder to come by.
Particularly for middle-class college applicants, the state is shutting down two grant/scholarship programs because they were deemed inefficient. The Beyond Time Loan Program, which was actually more of a grant program, and the Top 10% Scholarships Program. These were programs where families who had an income more than $60,000 were eligible. If you were already using these programs, you could still be eligible to renew, but they're not taking new applicants. The Beyond Time Program worked as if you qualified for the program and you graduated within 4 years with a B average, you basically turn it from a loan to a grant, so you would get whatever balance was forgiven. There just wasn't enough takers. I don't think there was a lot of problem because federal law forbids you advertising loan programs like this. So there was a lot of trouble getting the word out. So it just wasn't deemed to be efficient.
So where do those families considered middle class go to now for financial help?
The state grants were always a small part of what the overall grant process was. Most grants are federal, so they still have that pool to take from. But it's going to be tougher for them to take state money because there's basically just one program left that they are qualified for in terms of finances.
Ian Mitra, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Ian Mitra is managing editor of the Texas Tribune. Last week, Dallas County District Attorney Susan Hawk announced she's taking a 4-week leave of absence to seek treatment for depression. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked to a UT Southwestern psychiatrist about depression in the workplace. Think producer Stephen Becker has this recap.
Tell your boss you need a day off to fight the flu or a month off for open heart surgery, and you'll probably be told to get well soon and take as much time as you need. Telling your boss you need time off because you're depressed, though, isn't as easy.
Because we don't have long-term follow-up data, we don't have the lab test, we are not really at a point where people accept it as an illness. There is still a lot of people who think of depression as some kind of weakness.
Dr. Madhukar Trivede is the director of the Center for Depression Research and Clinical Care at UT Southwestern Medical Center. He says that, tough as it may be, it's important to inform a supervisor when a bout of depression hits.
It is very good to recognize on both sides, on the employer side as well as the employee side, so that they're not seen as people who are shirking their responsibility. There are some days when they just cannot function.
That's something a sympathetic boss will understand. If you're not so lucky, though, Trivedi says there can be a downside to opening up.
2 months from now and 2 years from now, that same employer or supervisor will continuously write off your behaviors they don't like as part of depression. When all you were doing, for example, 6 months later, when you're back to normal, you're disagreeing with your boss because the boss is wrong, and yet the boss feels empowered to write it off as your depression.
Trivedi says that stigma has to change. That requires companies to provide an environment in which employees feel comfortable discussing their mental health.
At work, I think that employers have to begin to give their employees permission to talk about it, express the fact that they have clinical depression, they are wanting to or seeking treatment, and really make this like any other medical disease. It has its problems. It does lead to a dysfunction at work and other places, but it also is treatable.
And, as Trivedi says, many people with depression go on to function very well once they've had a chance to seek help. Stephen Becker, KERA News.
You can learn more about how to better care for depressed coworkers at KERANews.org. Think rears tonight at 9. This evening, it looks like it's going to be partly cloudy, low around 76. Tomorrow should be mostly sunny with high near 93, and tomorrow night mostly clear with low around 76. It's currently 94 degrees in Dallas, 93 in Fort Worth, 90 in Tyler, and 95 in Wichita Falls. You can follow KERA News on Twitter or like us on Facebook. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.